Blog Talk Radio.
You're hungry.
I know hypoglycemic induced hostility when I see it.
Just think.
A what?
You want to know what I was thinking?
About eating?
I was thinking about Wakanda.
Was that a camp in Wisconsin?
Seeing Abdul-Habaz's picture reminded me of Mo and Jada, the time I spent in Chad and Sudan. Started thinking about Wakanda.
Where is Wakanda?
It's nowhere. It's a fictional African country. The most technically advanced society in the Marvel Universe. And the richest.
Hold on a second. In a comic book? You just geeked out on me in a real moment?
Hey man, when I was a kid, comic books were the only thing that made sense. It was simple. Good guys versus bad guys. For me, it was all about T'Challa, the Black Panther.
Of course.
Not just because he was a brother who was richer than Tony Stark. T'Challa was a leader, he was a president, he was a superhero, all at the same time. It was all about justice. When I left Brooklyn, the only thing I wanted to see was the motherland. And to witness that world up close. But instead of finding Wakanda, I found poverty, starvation, child soldiers, death squads.
Walt's bread and butter.
I thought I could save more. I really thought I could help Jada.
The whole motherland thing's overrated.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the East, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logger.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, people. Welcome to yet another edition of the Midweek in Review, courtesy of AfroNerd Radio, featuring yours truly and Captain Kirk. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. 646-915-9620. Of course, if you go to AfroNerdRadio.com, where you're probably listening to us, the site that you're listening to this broadcast from, you will see a list of topics. I will probably have to give you a prequel on something, something that just happened to me. I was on the Armstrong Williams show, thanks to SiriusXM. Just got off, so I did not get enough time to isolate the audio. But they're talking about Dr. Cosby again, allegations of misconduct, molestation, rape of women in his employ, or mostly they're in his employ, or perhaps he was mentoring them. I'm going to get into this briefly. I think I addressed this the last show, but I got to mention a couple of things and then we will move along. Of course, I'm elated. Finally, T'Challa gets his close up, or I should say T'Challa. T'Challa gets his close-up. Chadwick Boseman is the Black Panther. We're going to talk about that. Of course, we will be more in-depth Saturday during the Grindhouse at 6 p.m. featuring yours truly, Captain Kirk, the uncanny Daryl B., and friend of the show, David Walker, from Dynamite's Shaft comic book, upcoming Shaft comic book. Let's go to a groove. We have a lot to cover. We do what we do. This is Keep On Looking Sharon Jones of the Dap Kings, giving you the absolute very best of urban alternative groove. Right back. Black rock, super soul funk, psychedelic soul, afro punk. We do what we must do. Again, folks, this is the Midweek in Review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Speaking of the captain, Captain, you're simply needed in the ready room. Let's get to it, sir.
Due to time constraints, I'm going to just get right into it. According to the FDA, you're not allowed to say any snake oil is a cure unless the snake oil goes through the FDA and then they say it's a cure. That's just the modus operandi of the system. They are the governing body. Even if your snake oil works, what I'm going to outline here, using my words carefully, because I do not want the FDA thugs to come get the captain. These things may help with the symptoms of Ebola. They may. You have to look up the information for yourself. Now let's start with this. ZMAP, spelled Z-M-A-P-P. Z-M-A-P-P. Now, ZMAP is an experimental tobacco-based biological drug. It is a mix of three antibodies to bind to the proteins of Ebola, of the Ebola virus. Sounds good. Sounds promising. It may help with Ebola. Now, the only problem with this is they can't seem to make a lot of it. I wonder why. So that means if you came down with Ebola, The only way you could get a hold of this is if you're a prominent person, for whatever reason you become prominent, or you're a rich person. So let's move on. Let's move on. There's more here. Yeah, the captain got more. All right? Go old school with this one. Let's go ultraviolet blood irradiation. Woo! What is that? That's just hitting your blood with ultraviolet rays, you know? That's all what it is, ultimately. All right, what does this do? Increases oxygen absorption into the body tissue. Destruction of fungal, viral, and bacterial growth. Whoa, sounds very promising. This may, have to say may, help with Ebola. May. Enhances the immune system's ability to fight infection. Improves circulation and decreases platelet aggregation. Improves circulation by dilating blood vessels. Improves the body's ability to detoxify and inactivate or remove toxins. That sounds promising. But here's the problem with this. You would have to go to a hospital in order to get it done. Now, if everyone was just hypothetically sick, all the beds might be filled up. You know, you see, and they really don't use that anymore. They used that during the 1940s. Now, let's talk about ozone therapy. We talked about that already. I don't have to talk about that anymore. We did that already. Now, let's talk about this, the active form of garlic. If you look up garlic, there's a long history on garlic, Even in vampire movies, they use garlic. Ironically enough, vampirism is supposed to be a virus in garlic, in vampire lore, according to the movies. Now, but we're not talking the actual regular garlic with this. The product I'm talking about is called Allicin C, spelled A-L-L-I-C-I-N-C. Let me spell it again for you. Allicin C, A-L-L-I-C-I-N-C. Now, this is the active form of garlic. What do I mean by that? Okay, when you bite into garlic, and you feel that burning sensation, the little sizzling in your mouth, that's what it is. That's what Allicin C is. They also add some extra vitamin C into it also. One pill is equivalent to, let's say, 30 to 36 cloves of garlic. All right? What does this do? This reduces viral load. So let's give you a simple analogy. Let's say there's 3 bouncers at the door of a club. They're all 6'5", 300 pounds, in their 20s, and they're young, right? You have 3 miscreants come to the door. They try to push in. They're not going to be able to get past the bouncers, okay? But now, if 50 miscreants come, even though you have these big guys, they'll be able to overwhelm the bouncers. So what the Allicin C does, it keeps the viral load down so the bouncers can handle the original 3. It's nothing for them. That's all been proven, too. All that has been proven. Remember, none of this is a cure in any way, shape, or form. It may help. Now, here's the thing. Ozone therapy, from the home standpoint, you could do. The Allicin C stuff, you definitely can do. As you can see, from a first world standpoint, Ebola is not really a problem to the Americas. It really is not. Here's the problem. All right? If we are having not so contrived war. Remember now, a lot of these wars are contrived. If you look at even World War II, the money was lent to both sides. You just follow the money, all right? Bin Laden was set up by the CIA. Just follow the money. Follow the money. CIA has operatives on the ground, and they formulate terrorist groups all over the world. Just follow the money. Follow the money. MSNBC, Fox News said that already. I confirmed it 6 months before they did it. Just follow the money. Follow the money. But if the war on terror via Islamic State is not contrived, then we have a problem. Why do we have a problem? Real simple. Islamic State gets a hold of Ebola. They drop it in Mexico. They drop it in France. Let's take Mexico. Then the Mexicans start crossing the border like crazy, and then they inundate the medical system. We cannot respond fast enough. There you go. Then you have a problem. This is ultimately how it works. So you see, from a first world standpoint, really, Ebola is not really a problem at all. You understand? Because everything is here, and you can look up the information. Once again, you cannot say that these are cures. But once you look at the information, you'll be able to decide for yourself. And that's all I want to say. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd. Let's get it started.
Yes, always keeping our audience informed, Captain. Definitely. Well, listen, that's what Afro Nerd is all about, certainly. What I wanted to talk about, and briefly, because we went into this last show, but I have to readdress it because of what just happened right before the broadcast. I was able to actually get on the Armstrong Williams show. Armstrong is a noted conservative, noted talk show host for many years, and now he has a gig with Sirius XM. So most of the broadcast was dedicated toward this old controversy with Dr. William H. Cosby. Now, longtime listeners are keenly aware that this broadcast owes a lot, not only to the Oracle, the tangential producer of the show, who is my father, but also Dr. Cosby. When he came out with his infamous / famous pound cake speech at the 2004 NAACP 50th anniversary of the Brown versus Board of Topeka case, he went off script. He blacked out, as they say on the street. And I've said this over, you know, this has been a mantra on our show about just how this show developed. So anyway, even going back then, you started hearing, almost immediately, he started having legal problems. Almost coincidentally, too coincidentally for my comfort level, the moment he started positioning himself with trying to get black folk to correct some of this dysfunctionalism. Because at some point, one way or the other, if you're going to be tribal, we are going to have to deal with that. It is unavoidable. As I think about it, that's the thing that's kind of funny, isn't it, Captain? We don't like to hear this. You know, you're wrong, yada, yada, yada. There's so much conflict and so much passion and anger with dealing with something that you're going to have to be confronted with at some point. It's either now or later. So anyway, Hannibal Buress, who I even said, a comedian whose humor I actually like, he went into this rant, kind of an off-the-cuff rant, about Dr. Cosby and these rape allegations. He was accused of raping numerous women. So the deal is, well, why didn't anything happen out of these cases? So when I was on Armstrong Williams' show, you had quite a few callers who called in who were pretty much ready to put this guy behind bars. But they're several decades too late. They're too late. Now, what I said, as I said, I didn't have enough time to actually isolate the audio. Maybe, you know, maybe next week I'll do it. I deal with logic, and I'm not dealing with excusing someone because I'm a supporter of Dr. Cosby. Really, even more beyond Dr. Cosby, I'm a supporter of what he said. I'm more of a supporter of the message than I am of the messenger. I can do that. It's called deconstruction. But I digress. The deal here, if you do any kind of research on this thing, is that you have quite a few women that were investigated, and it didn't go anywhere. These cases were investigated, and they just did not meet the smell test. And I said on air, and I want our audience, because our audience are extremely bright, educated folk, the majority of them. Think about this. Progressive, radical, black argument. I'm going to take a radical, quote-unquote, black, progressive, acceptable, mainstream, typical argument. Because you can't go one way, you can't have it one way, and then when it's positioned another way, you can't handle it. Your argument has to go back and forward. You got to turn the argument inside out. If you're going to have it one way, you have to accept it if it happens the other way. The progressive argument oftentimes is, well, here you go with white people, or in this case, a white woman or white women. We're dealing with perhaps a cadre of white women with white skin color privilege. And I never discount white skin color privilege. So why are we discounting it now? A white woman or women with white skin color privilege should be able to dismantle a moneyed black comedian. One white child dismantle Michael Jackson's career, and Michael Jackson, dare I say, was the top entertainer, bar none, on the planet. One white child that ended up, I mean, it's two cases, but let's say the first one in 91, that situation, the allegation dismantled him. When it went through the court system, that was that. But the allegation is enough. So you mean to tell me that 13 women, or let's say half of them might be of Caucasian extraction, they cannot take down Bill Cosby, even if they're poor white women, against a black comedian, even a black money comedian? It doesn't pass the smell test. And I'm taking what a progressive would say. But because, as I said the last show, and I'm going to cut it here, his positioning does not make you feel comfortable when it comes down to dealing with black dysfunctionalism, asking for black correction, something that we will have to deal with at some point or another. You're going to have to deal with it at some point anyway, what he's asking. But you don't like it. Some blacks do not like it. You're ready to put this guy under a prison for cases that have already essentially been dismissed. One lone comedian makes an off-the-cuff remark recorded on some iPhone, and now the media is back up at it again. These women, or one woman, comes out the woodwork after decades, and when you do the research, you see that these women have been paid off repeatedly. They keep on taking money, and they continue to be in this man's employ. And even when you think about the case with the woman that was purported to be his daughter, or thought he was his daughter, she tried to shake him down, and that didn't pass the smell test either. He was actually going through extortion, and that was proven to be a case of extortion, and she went to jail for it. He's not afraid to confront stuff. So I don't know if this man did what he did, but it seems very odd, based on white skin color privilege, based on precedent. We've seen white women take down black men and have them killed in days past, decades ago. Let's say they can't do that. They could at least take your money. We didn't see that. We didn't see him. We did not see his career effectively dismantled. That's it. Be consistent. Go after Eddie Long. Go after these other leaders in the black community where the allegations are less specious. Many of those situations actually have been confirmed, and you're willing to give a pass because they're not challenging you. This man challenges you, and, oh, no, he's guilty. Come on, man. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't pass the smell test. Sorry, doesn't pass the smell test. We've been here before. That's it. Any thoughts on that, Captain? That's the end of it.
Well said. Nothing to add, nothing to take away, sir. Let's move along.
Okay. I'm elated, Captain. I've been talking about this probably ad nauseum to our audience about the need for a Black Panther film. It was always hinted at. But listen, there have been some missteps, and we're going to really dig in deep this Saturday when David Walker stops by. I'm pretty sure he's in the industry, so I'm pretty sure he has a take on this. And again, he is also writing a series on another black quote unquote hero of note, Shaft. So he should be especially equipped to discuss this kind of thing. But anyway, we talk about this almost every week about when is this Black Panther movie coming. So now, and I think we actually kind of sort of predicted it as well, Captain. We're very rarely wrong. You know, in all sorts of matters, whether it's politics, social issues, and especially pulp issues. We've been saying, I think in the last show, didn't we correctly and logically conclude that based on DC's release of their movies, where they actually came out, less than 2 weeks ago, they announced, they had a formal announcement about their films forthcoming going into 2020. And we happened to notice they had minority and female representation. We see that there's going to be a female lead, obviously, with a Wonder Woman film, which is almost analogous to Black Panther, merely more so than Black Panther. They've been looking for some kind of vehicle for a Wonder Woman film for a long time, kinds of excuses. Now, but when the motivation is there, when the heat is on, all of a sudden, all that difficulty goes away. We're hearing they have some kind of mechanism for putting her into the real world. They've done that. There's talk about getting a female director to helm this thing. All the things that, you know, really respectfully should happen, is going to happen because the pressure is on. So DC/Warner Brothers, that's going down. Pardon me. That's going down. And then we're seeing that a Cyborg film, which the captain and myself even admitted that we're not even really that enthused about, but I will support it. But that's going to be a minority Black character. We already know that the gentleman, I think his name is Ray Fisher, that actor, he's already attached to it for the Justice League films. But he's getting his own film. So not to be undone, we said this. And hey, we know about this long-time rivalry between Marvel and DC. I don't think Marvel is going to allow one-upmanship with women and minority representation. What happens? No less than 2 weeks goes by, we see that a Ms. Marvel or a Captain Marvel film is in the works and Black Panther's in the works. And it just so happens that these films appear to be coming out before the other protected class films are coming out. Can't be a coincidence. And we said it. We said it. This has got to happen. When the pressure is on, all those difficulties, we heard also, which was another thing that kind of made us feel a certain way, Lou D'Esposito, who is the president of Marvel, or one of the heads at Marvel, had said some off-the-cuff remark about the difficulty in doing a Black Panther film. Although, again, we've referenced films that have – Guardians of the Galaxy was about all kinds of weird creatures out of thin air. Thor dealing with Norse mythology, dealing with Asgard, out of thin air. They're able to come with that. A Black superhero in Africa, where we know Africa exists, certainly. Certainly. We know what Africa now. Certainly because of the contagion or the risk of contagion, we know about Africa. But when the pressure is on, all of a sudden, things are able to get done. So thankfully, we're looking at sometime in November that there's supposed to be a Black Panther film, and they actually have a respectable actor attached to it, Chadwick Boseman, who's come up recently with the Get On Up film, which I saw, which I thought was a pretty good film, as well as 42. And interestingly enough, not only has he carried a film, or carried films, but he's played larger-than-life people. And it seems that with these fantasy characters, they're so attached to the public consciousness, it seems that it's a requirement to really be of a certain status level to even play a Batman or Superman or, in this case, Black Panther or Captain America. You just can't be anybody, which is it's a very weird thing. But I guess at the end of the day, I'm going to pass the mic to the captain. I guess at the end of the day, superheroes represent ideals. They represent Nietzsche's Uberman, Ubermensch. They represent the need for man to pursue mythological greatness. So one can say, hey, you know, these are just, someone who's ignorant may say, oh, these are just goofy make-believe characters. But they're really not. They really harken back to Zeus and Thor, who was a real Norse god, Hercules, Hermes, all these Roman Greek gods of myth. They have become these superheroes that you just can't have, you know, some Johnny come lately take the mantle of the bat, or in this case take the mantle of the Black Panther. Enough said. We'll get into it far more in depth Saturday, 6 p.m. during the Grindhouse. Captain, your thoughts?
It's slated for 2017, right? That Black Panther,
yeah,
right?
No, November at some point, yeah.
All right. Before you know it, it'll be upon us. So we shall see. We shall see with this. Should be very interesting. That's all I'll say for now. I'll save the rest for Saturday.
Well, I want to throw one more thing at you, because I just thought about this. You know, obviously today is comic book day, and before this broadcast, I was at my comic book store, not unlike Norm from Cheers. When you walk in, it's, hey, you know, Afro Nerd, what's going on? And you know, right away, Black Panther. They know I'm the guy. You know, what do you think? And folks of varied hues, varied ethnicities are excited about this thing. Something that, see, now that we have an actual person attached to the titular character, now what's almost equally as important, or really not almost, really is equally important, is who do you get to direct this thing? So a lot of names were going back and forth, and also the notion of, do you need a black director to do it? And I said, well, listen, so with DC has, for whatever reason, cinematically, has, we can talk about what happens in print. I'm pretty sure we're going to have a heated discussion on Saturday. But DC, kicking and screaming, has been ushered into the 21st century. And they already said, oh, we're going to get a female director for Wonder Woman. If, from what I see consistently happens between these two companies, if there's going to be a female director for Wonder Woman, there's got to be a man of color helming Black Panther. I already said, or some black involvement. I said, our honorary black director, and I say this jokingly, but not so jokingly, I said it before, I'll say it again, Quentin Tarantino, because he did it right, and he'll bring in the numbers. And I say honorary / Reginald Hudlin, have them as a team to do this thing. They were able to make a movie about slavery / a Southern / a Western. It was a Western, but it took place in the South. They made a film that was pretty, with pretty heavy subject matter, and made that almost $500 million at the box office. So if they can make something about that, and that subject matter is not the type of thing that you would expect to be able to garner that kind of money. If they can work that magic, $500 million on slavery equals damn near $1 billion. I'm just putting it out there. Damn near $1 billion if you're going to do a black superhero in Africa with Tarantino's name attached to it and Hudlin. If not those two, Antoine Fuqua, if not him, perhaps Steve McQueen. I would like to see Steve McQueen because he's so heavy. It would be treated so seriously. But, and then again, his name is out there too. His name is out there. And that would add a lot of cachet. I'm going to leave it at this. You can tell I'm into this thing. The more I think about it, the way you have a Chris Nolan attached to a Batman, it might make sense to have a Steve McQueen, and not Steve McQueen, Caucasian legend, during the 60s and 70s. I'm talking about black British director Steve McQueen of 12 Years a Slave fame. He would be analogous to a Christopher Nolan for Batman, but his Batman would be Black Panther. It would take on a whole different context if he was involved in this thing. That's it. I even have more. We'll save it for Saturday, 6 p.m. You feel comfortable in weighing in, or you want to wait?
I really don't care for Steve McQueen for this, man. I would like a Guillermo del Toro. I'll kick out Steve McQueen and put him in there. You know, that's just me. You know, I don't really like him for this type of movie. We have to understand something, and I'll say this briefly. Since Marvel has launched, you know, their phases, you know, when they even did phase one and everything else, they pretty much are batting 1,000, all right? Pressure's not on Marvel. The pressure is on DC. So DC has to whip up a lot of hoopla, or Wonder Woman, I'm going to get a woman, I'm going to get this, they will do it right, and all. They got to play all that game. Marvel doesn't really have to do that because more than likely the movie is not going to bomb, you know? It's really not, more than likely, it's not going to bomb. Now, of course, it helps if you have a Quentin Tarantino or somebody like that. Of course, it definitely helps. But, you know, I'm not really so much worried about that as far as Marvel. It's DC you got to worry about it. It's them MFers, man, you have to worry about it. Pressure's on them. Pressure's on them. Not on Marvel. Marvel, you got ahead. You got ahead. All Marvel has to do is not mess it up. That's it. That movie's a sell already. That's $500 million right there. It's a sell already. That's all. I'll say the rest of Saturday.
Listen. I'm just going to say this quick thing. I hope what you say comes to fruition. But, you know, it appears that their hesitancy initially. You have the president, D'Esposito, saying, well, you know, this, that, and the other. It's going to be difficult, yada, yada, yada. I really did not see them putting the pressure on this film until DC said, "Hey, we got a couple of black folks." Even the Green Lantern film, if they reboot that, I would be shocked if they did not have a black character for that. So they put the pressure on them, and Marvel reacted. Somebody blinked. This is the version of DC blinking when there was talk of Captain America 3. Going up against Batman versus Superman. Somebody blinked. That time it was DC. This time DC said, okay, we're going to put some blacks, some browns, and women at the titular role, particular representation on our next couple of films. Boom. Marvel had to react.
I think you're giving them too much credit. I think if anything, Marvel reacted. They reacted to the 2 years of pressure of all the fanboys. Remember, you know, the fanboys do drive a lot of this, believe it or not, the internet. You know?
Listen, man. Okay, but listen, I'll say this is hard to get. You know, I get stuck in the mud with this. We start getting into a vortex. It's like a vortex, but I'm going to get out of the vortex. But I'll just say this last thing, and then we'll move along, is this has been the history, Captain, between Marvel and DC. It's just too coincidental. They put out there 10 films, boom, bat, boom. This is 10 films, what it is, the release date, yada, yada, yada. Not coincidence that next week, practically, less than 14 days later, oh, this is our release date, our films and our release date. Not a coincidence. We'll get it. I'm pretty sure Daryl, who will be the voice of reason, or a close facsimile to it, he will weigh in on Saturday, 6 p.m., folks. You're going to want to hear his opinion. And there's even more to get into this. But if you haven't guessed, I'm extremely excited. All right, you know what? Let's try to go to a groove. When we get back, I want to talk actually about this Ebola case. It's several Ebola. I want to talk about the Ebola case involving this nurse. A nurse from Maine who ends up being quarantined in New Jersey by Governor Chris Christie. And she threatened lawsuits, Captain. She was making a hissy fit. This was a nurse that worked in West Africa treating Ebola victims. And it is an altruistic, very admirable act very it's very very much a sacrifice to do something like that. But then she acted not like that when it came down to being quarantined for being scrutinized. So we've got to get into this. This is the, to me, this is disturbing about how this woman reacted with a serious situation. We've got to know who you are, what you have. We got to be careful. That's all I'm saying. All right. This is As One, giving you a bit of acid jazz. As One by SW. We'll be right back. Featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number, as always, as ever, 646-915-9620. Once again, 646-915-9620. Of course, certainly give us a buzz with your questions, protestations, statements, what have you. We're open to it. All right, before the break, I was talking about this. It's actually a twofold issue. And when I get into this, Captain, it makes it even more crucial that we talk about honesty, political correctness, and vigilance. Honesty, political correctness, and vigilance. What the hell is AfroNerd talking about? You have a nurse, relatively young woman, actually two young medical professionals. Now, you're thinking, these are young, learned, self-actualized people, educated, correctness, like so many other folks. Nobody wants to be honest, Captain. No one wants to be honest. This young lady, Casey Hickox, she wants to sue, or she's threatening a lawsuit because She was held for a few days in New Jersey. Actually, she's held in two places. I believe she was held first in New Jersey, and then when she came back to her native Maine, then I believe she was held again. I'm not sure, but I know she was definitely held for a few days under quarantine. Yeah, because she's actually challenging or wants to challenge Maine's 21-day in-home quarantine policy. Now, again, we like to calibrate things here. We like to give context. She is to be admired on one level because she is a nurse sacrificing her time in West Africa to treat Ebola victims. But you are in the company of a contagion. People make mistakes. We've seen the nurse in Texas being cured, made mistakes. We don't know what you did. You don't know what you did. But this woman wants to sue because she felt like she was being imprisoned. Now, it turned out that she tested negative for Ebola. But I'm confused about that, Captain, because, again, we're being told you have to kind of wait some time to see if symptoms arise. Now, I'm going to read something briefly from the New York Times. I'm going to talk to you about, to our listening audience. You have her anger about being under quarantine because she's being imprisoned and treated unfairly. But on the flip side, we have a doctor coming back from treating Ebola victims who did not go through a quarantine and went all about town, Captain. This is a theme here, Captain. It's exasperating. This deal of people who want to infringe their singular rights on the masses of everybody else, to endanger everybody else for their personal rights. This lack of being magnanimous is offensive. It reminds me of people who smoke in public access or in public places, folks that insist on having pit bulls unleashed or having dangerous animals, and then when the animal gets out, it maims someone or kills someone. But I'm a pet owner. I'm allowed to have this dangerous pet that many insurers will not cover. Many insurers will run away from even covering a person who owns a bull mastiff or a pit bull. But I got to have my pit bull. I got to have my smoke. Even though the secondhand smoke may affect, I've seen pregnant women smoke, all be damned to the infant in your belly. My personal rights cannot be assaulted. I'm going to read this briefly. Again, Casey Hickox says she may sue Maine over Ebola quarantine. The nurse who was quarantined after returning from treating Ebola patients in West Africa has given the state of Maine until Thursday to let her move freely, setting up what could be a test case of whether state quarantines are legal. The nurse, Casey Hickox, 33, who was confined first by New Jersey when she came back to the United States and then by Maine, did a blitz on morning television challenging her confinement by Maine officials and saying that she would not continue to obey the restrictions. All right, I'm going to leave it at that. Now, let me go to the second story. And again, folks, I'm just giving you logic. I'm just confused about this hubris of certain individuals that could care less about you. It's about me. When you hear this next story with this doctor, Dr. Craig Spencer, you're going to lose your mind. And I wonder what her argument would be when you hear this story. I want to read this. This is from the New York Post. The city's first Ebola patient initially lied about his travels around the city following his return from treating disease victims in Africa, law enforcement sources said. Dr. Craig Spencer at first told officials that he isolated himself in his Harlem apartment and didn't admit he rode the subways, dined out, and went bowling until cops looked at his Metro card, the sources said. He told the authorities that he self-quarantined. Detectives then reviewed his credit card statement and Metro card and found that he went over here, over there, up and down, and all around, a source said. Spencer finally fessed up when a cop got on the phone and had to relay questions to him through the health department. Now, this man, again, does have Ebola. He did not initially have the symptoms, but when confronted, he lied. This is a medical professional, Captain, lying, potentially endangering other folks without a care. We initially did not have the ability, or someone dropped the ball in scrutinizing him. So what makes him any different than Nurse Hickox, who refuses? She wants to like just forget you. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. If I have it, so be it. I mean, she insists she doesn't have it, but I mean, this guy lied about everything. I mean, I'm done. It is a symptomology in this culture. We have people who are so self-centered and have this inability to be conscientious toward other people. People do not give a crap about the next guy. Clearly, even a doctor does not care about you. What are your thoughts on this, Captain? Where is my logic faulty in this?
Well, we have to understand this is the United States of America, and this is the nanny state. This is the do-anything state within a certain extent. Now, let's look with North Korea, which is communist, all right? And most of you would not want to live there. I know, you don't want to live there. North Korean leader said, that's it. Shut down all tourism until we get a hand on this Ebola. If they want to build a bridge in North Korea or China, it's a wave of a hand. Bridge goes up the next day. We don't have to spend 20, 25 years before it happens. Pros and cons, difference in the countries. Here in the United States, as I said before, now, if Islamic State and if it's not a contrived war, they drop this liquefied black Muslim in Mexico, Mexicans start running here, and then people get sick. The people are not going to want to stay in the home for 21 days. Now you see what happens. You see why it becomes a problem. You won't follow protocol. Oh, you can't do this to me. I have rights. I have this. No, we have to protect the people. Because if the people go down, you don't have government. You understand? You will not have it. You'll have anarchy, bedlam, everywhere all over the place. So it's real simple. You have to follow protocols. And the people here in America do not want to follow protocols. They just want to do whatever they want to do, walking around sick and what have you. That's it. It's a protocol. Wave the hand. Boom. No one move. That's it. I have to protect the people. Without the people, we can't have economy. Everything collapses. Everything falls apart. It's real simple. That's it. But the way the laws are set up here, remember, the high school dropout has the same rights as the person with the dual doctor. That's just how it works here. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just telling you that's how it works here. So it just is what it is. People do not want to listen based on the laws, and they will turn around and fight you even though they're sick, if they are sick. That's just what it is here. Serious problem. So hopefully, tying it back into what I said earlier, that it is a contrived war with Islamic State, because if it isn't, this is going to be a big, big problem in this country, simply because you are not going to stay home for 3 weeks and catch a little cabin fever until you're all right. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
You know, this really is tangentially connected to other issues, Captain. I mean, I know folks are going to say, okay, he's reaching. But this really, to me, you know, I even sometimes you and I may not even agree on some things, which is fine. But you know, when I go in on the need for stop and frisk, and I know it's very, you know, I'm some folks would probably want me to be ousted out of the race. when you know, it's just improper. I've been given that look. That, well, how can a black man possibly agree with stop and frisk? Well, listen, I wouldn't agree with stop and frisk if it's wholesale stop and frisk now. But the circumstances, if something is of an emergency nature, red alert time, political correctness goes out the window. If babies are getting shot, the elderly, we're getting emails continually. I mean, there's a 1-year-old was shot in the arm. She may even lose the arm. That's horrible. You know, just some miscellaneous shooting in a car. You know, just, I mean, randomly. Just got shot. It had nothing to do with the nonsense. You're literally in a war zone. When you are in a situation that is an ordained war zone, let's say what's happening in Syria or in Iraq or in Afghanistan, where these are quasi wars, there are no rules. There's martial law, there's soldier incursions. It's going down that way. When you see what's happening in Chicago, and I'm going to be off of it because this is a tangent. No one wants to react to it like it's an emergency. I wouldn't even say or tolerate stop and frisk for an extended length of time. But if you're dealing with babies being killed, that's emergency time. It means if you're in an area that's known to have a high crime rate, that areas where you know that there's drug dealing going on, and you are in an approximate area and fit a certain description, if you fit the profile and you're in that area, it's got to go down like that. Maybe you have to be scrutinized. Maybe when it comes down to the city limits, maybe there has to be some kind of paramilitary a team to greet you, asking who you are, where you're going, and make sure you have no weaponry on you, because it is just that severe. Because I'm pretty sure they're doing stuff like that in Iraq. If you're going to call something Chirac, it means that, well, you know, the conditions are pretty similar. But black folks, because of this notion of discomfort, well, you're infringing on my rights, and I'm not going to go for this. And yet the babies, the mothers, the children at the park, those people have to continue to die because of your personal discomfort. I'd rather for people to be uncomfortable and for these children to play another day. And once things have calmed down and you're able to cut down some of this nonsense by a third or two-thirds or a half, then we can kind of normalize things. But no one wants to do that. Same thing with Ebola. Ebola, we're seeing thousands of folks dying in some of the Ebola nations in the continent of Africa. Like the great captain just said, we see that North Korea is already doing something. Now, I'm not trying to shout out totalitarianism. I'm not shouting that out. But a broken clock does tell the time correctly twice a day. Every once in a while, even a nut might give you a correct answer. So we know how North Korea gets down, but on this, they're not being murky about it. Up, shutting all borders. We're not playing with this, but the Westerners, they want to be nice, Captain. They want to be politically correct. And again, if you cannot even trust a professional medical, a medical professional, a doctor, to be honest about his whereabouts after having been discovered to have this virus, if you can't trust him with his credentials, who is treating these people, then this nurse needs to be, first of all, if this nurse give me the governor, I'd have her there for 6 months. I'm being half facetious, but I would want to. Okay? Just because you're being patently an a-hole. If I was under those circumstances, I'd say, you know, I understand. No problem. A couple of weeks, we work. We just whatever. This is serious. I'm coming from an area where this is going down. I mean, it's not like people know. This woman acts like she knows for sure. This doctor didn't know. And when he did know, he lied. That's it, Captain. I'm in rare form. I can connect the dots, man. This political correctness, it's killing people. And in this case, it may not
literally.
Be. Yeah, it's literally, it's killing people on the inner city black tip, literally. But when you stretch out what political correctness can do, it even goes into viruses. You know, just dealing with all sorts of problems. When folks do not want to deal with a problem head on and they want to be polite about it, and it enables a type of murkiness. It enables a type of murkiness. It just, wow. Wow. All right, of the opposite, sort of. It deals with Ebola, but, you know, it deals with two students from the Bronx who are from Senegal who were reportedly beaten up by their classmates. They were two brothers, in middle school, Bronx Middle School, who reportedly were beaten up. And while they were being accosted, they were being the term Ebola. They were literally being called Ebola. Calling these kids Ebola as they were being accosted in a Bronx school that that's for sure, Captain. But I would bet my money that the student body in Brown, which is within it in itself an irony. So you have African Americans, potentially, which I think this is somewhere near Tremont Avenue, Captain. I don't know who else is there, demographically. Accosting these African children, who I believe are not from a country in Africa that has this virus, but they're African, and these kids are telling them to go back to Africa, and they're chanting Ebola. And they refused to play with them. They ostracized them. But this is where you talk about the lack of cognition. I don't care how young these kids are. You really didn't believe they had Ebola because you wouldn't physically accost them.
There you go. You nailed it. That's everything. You just hit it. You nailed it. Continue.
I mean, this is what no one has said this. This is what drives me crazy. This is why they should choose me to be the Black Panther to Chad Bosman. I'm just, I'll hit the gym. I'm cheaper than him. Give me $2 million. I have the captain train me. We work it out. We'll work it out. You need somebody who's going to go in there and really, someone who can see, who has OCD-like abilities. I'm already looking at the in-between stuff. That no one has said that in print. No one says the obvious, Captain. It drives me crazy. Have you noticed that in the last couple of weeks? I've told you certain things. Even at Comic-Con, people are walking around clueless. This Casey Hickox woman, she wants to, you're not going to hold me. I don't have it. Then her colleague, who has a doctorate, for Christ's sake, he's lying about dining out and bowling and running in the park. Now you have black kids physically accosting original black folks who you should be revering and asking questions. You are touching and beating and certainly passing blood and skin, scraping skin against men who, young boys, young men, let's call them young men, that you just said have Ebola, which means either you're patently an idiot, which is what it is, or you really do not believe they had Ebola. You just don't like the fact that they're African. You had to pin something on him. I mean, Captain, this is something that myself and your predecessor, Mr. Starks, a.k.a. Iron Man, because he's in the school system, and he's an administrator in the school system, and he deals with the politics of administration, these progressive – and I don't want people to think that I'm some Rush Limbaugh person, whereas I have a problem with someone because they're progressive or because whatever side of the political spectrum you're on. It's not about that. I just want people to be pragmatic. I want people to make sense, and I want people to be honest. I'm tired of this political correct crap. I mean, I hope people understand when they listen to this podcast what I am saying clearly, and send us emails, afronerdblog@yahoo.com. Afronerdblog@yahoo.com. What am I saying that is so dangerous? Because I've heard people tell me some emails that my message is dangerous to the black community. Okay. I guess I go ahead of the line from the gang violence and all those kind of stuff. I'm ahead of the line then. My message is dangerous. But to have black children attacking other black children from a country and larger than that, a continent that you should be familiar with, to tell them you got to go back home. The administrators, the progressive element in these administrations never allows for straight talk to these children to simply tell them, knock it off. You need to have a Joe Clark. You have to have a Joe Clark to come by and to lay down the law, to cut out this murkiness, to be straight up. Nobody is allowing for straight talk, Captain, and it boggles my mind. That's it. You're going to punch someone who's in the midst of a contagion. If you really believe that, you would not do that. It's not. I mean, I know they're children, but even they know deep down. Even a child, if a child knew for sure that someone had a contagious disease, they would not. Because you've seen them, you've seen children walk away from circumstances where they think someone had the cooties.
Yeah.
Okay. This is real cooties, real life cooties. If you really believe they had real life cooties, you would not have proceeded skin cells against the bodies of these young men. So it's definitely some kind of bigotry thing going on, but it makes it embarrassing. And this is something that has not been really put into print. They've left this mystery as to the ethnicity of the children that attacked these young African brothers. But when you hear Bronx Middle School near Tremont Avenue, I'm left to assume it had to be black and brown people. Had to be. I'm running the calculations on the demographics, Captain. I'm taking a guess of it. And it's an embarrassment.
That's an educated guess.
It's an embarrassment. And the parents aren't going to be forthcoming. The administrators aren't going to pull these little cretins to the side and tell them. I would have an assembly every day to browbeat these young hooligans to knock it off, and that you are a public embarrassment. But we don't even do that with the dress code. So why should I? Why they're just going to let this go like everything else? You would not be allowed to enter my school grounds looking like you just came off of a rap video shoot. But, you know, the political correct thing is to let everything just go. It's all good. YOLO. You only live once. That's it, Captain.
All right.
Any thoughts on that?
No. Well said. Well said, sir. You nailed it. Once you said that, there wasn't. We could have stopped right there. That was everything. Boom. Let's go.
It's frightening, the level of hyperbole that's out here, the level of exaggeration. man. It seems like we have it's the well runs deep, Captain, when it comes to black embarrassment, doesn't it? I mean, I can say I'm saying this because I'm speaking specifically about black folks. I mean, it goes beyond ethnicity, but for the sake of this conversation, I'm saying black embarrassment. There are things that are going on that we just kind of let go. You know, having TV shows, having a cadre of TV shows with Caucasian hair-hatted women beating up each other, not unlike circa 1920 with Mantan Moreland and Burt Williams, but a rebooted version of it in 2014, for the community to allow that to continue, to allow that minstrel show to be shown, what's wrong with us? We have normalized. You know, this is a one long, multi-year rant. I'm just astounded that we seem not to have. Where's our bottom? A drug addict has a bottom. Where's the black bottom? And I'm not talking about New Orleans. Where's the black bottom? Or Nicki Minaj. I'm not talking about those two things. You know, there's less of an excuse for Nicki Minaj. At least you can see her black bottom. She makes sure you can see it. I don't get it. All right, folks, listen. I'm going to go to another break. Again, we do respect you here at AfroNerd. You know, I'm trying to play the music that's of a certain type. You know, it's not going to call you nigga or nigger. Some of it is quite masterful when it comes to instrumentation. But, you know what? I got to mention this before I do go to the break. I got to shout out Sergio Mims. He kind of had he was on a tear behind the scenes in an email exclaiming why he listens to classical music exclusively. And I could not deconstruct it. He sends an email. Florida. Yes. Explain that. I don't know why. Tell him what he sent and why it's a problem.
Well, I'll let you handle it. You know, they're all coming afterwards. You go ahead.
Yeah, well, he sends an email. I guess it's making the rounds of a, what would you call it, Captain? I guess right before Bobby Shmurda gets this record deal, he did some kind of performance for L.A. Reid. And it was horrible. I mean, Shmurda has no talent. I mean, this is not even an opinion. He has no talent. I mean, we can be subjective about some hip-hop artists because it boils down to maybe taste. I've been shouting out this podcast, and I would implore our listenership to check him out because these guys really know a lot about music, and I like the breadth of their musical taste. They'll talk about Oscar Peterson. They'll talk about Bob James. They'll talk about Duke Ellington. They'll talk about Miles Davis, and then they can talk about Nas. So they'll talk about Amy Winehouse versus Adele. So they are all over the map. But they said something that makes even anyone who may not be that warm toward hip-hop, they said something that I thought was pretty profound. They said that, I think Shmurda was in the argument. They said, no, it wasn't Shmurda, I think they said it was 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz, Shmurda, same person. They said... they said that the chief smell test, the chief litmus test is when you see someone like, let's say, a person, and we were actually able to interview his partner. We interviewed Lord Jamar a few months ago. Grand Poobah. Grand Poobah, formerly of the Masters of Ceremony, and now, and for 2 decades plus, Brand Nubians, part of the Brand Nubians group. Grand Poobah is an underrated lyricist. He really is. And I had to remember how nasty Grand Poobah is as a lyricist. So they said, when you put, actually they were talking about Grand Poobah versus Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar has been ordained as some kind of wunderkind, some kind of, you know, and he has some talent, I guess. But he says, well, I shouldn't say that. He has a talent. But when you put him pound for pound against some of the 90s lyricists and you actually listen, they threw some song on, some off-the-cuff song by Grand Poobah where he went in so intricately, Captain. And this guy is not really, and it really is one of those cases where you think he's kind of being slighted. But an off-the-cuff jam where the lyricism was so intricate and so all over the place, and then he put him up against Kendrick Lamar. So, wait a minute. Kendrick isn't really as nasty as I thought he was. I had to remember. What they also said was, there are rappers of old, even maybe some rappers today. You can sit there and say, well, I can't do that. When Prince does his thing, I don't know anybody can say, oh, I can do that. Okay? If Rakim, when Rakim was at his height, or even to this day, the way he puts his words together, the phrasing, you can sit there and say, oh, I can't do that. I can't do what Miles Davis did. But when 2 Chainz does what he does, let's give you 100, when Bobby Shmurda does what he does, you can certainly say, oh, yeah, I can do that. And that is exactly why hip-hop is in the state that it is in, because anybody can do it. 20, 25 years ago, many of the top-flight artists, you could not do what they could do. You cannot do what Q-Tip could do. You can't. Even if you like or dislike the music, as far as the intricacy of a Chuck D or any of these top lyricists of their day, you cannot do what they can do. But you can certainly do based on what Sergio Mims sent over. And you can go to World Star Hip Hop, traipse through that cyber ghetto if you like. You will see this is an embarrassing performance that he's – and this is in order for him to get a contract with L.A. Reid, and L.A. Reid is a musician and a businessman who's worked with top-flight musicians, but he's got to get paid. And the industry and the level of talent has degraded, not unlike a zombie from the Walking Dead movie or TV series. It is calcified to such a degree, it's an arm falling off some supernatural creature. That's what it is. That is what hip-hop is today. It is that arm, hand, eyeball falling out of one of the creatures from Walking Dead. That's where hip-hop is right now. You look at some of these clowns, oh, yeah, I can do that. Certainly. That's it, folks. you can proceed with this nonsense. You can proceed with it. I'm done. Just seeing that video, it's heck, a high school talent show contestant did better than Bobby Shmurda. But he has a record deal. It is what it is. All right. Let's go back in the past. Again. Something I cannot do. Mother's Finest, early black rock. Mother's Finest, Baby Love, classic. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
There is no other.
Oh,
sure, I could do that. Oh, sure. Baby love, mother's finest. Folks, we've got about 5 minutes remaining of the Midweek and Review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. And remember, during Saturday's show, the infamous Grindhouse show, we're expecting David Walker, a filmmaker, comic creator. Currently, he is helming the Dynamite comic book Shaft, you know, Shaft, the blaxploitation hero. He's in charge of that, and he'll give us more information. But that book is forthcoming, and I'm really excited. So we're getting a double whammy. I mean, we have him coming through to discuss Shaft, and also, listen, hey, Black Panther is forthcoming in 2017, so I'm really in a good mood. Believe it or not, despite the last conversation, I'm actually in a good mood. This is the nice Afro Nerd. A few minutes remaining. You know, I guess we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Sir Charles Barkley. It's almost redundant from us because we talk about Charles Barkley. I guess if there were to be a mistake made on his part, and I'm very comfortable in what he said. The truth is what it is. It is what it is. But some have said, well, he talked about black people in the totality, like all black folk. And I didn't really get that. But even if you had a problem with what he said, and he talked about ignorant black folk and about this notion of acting white and how, quote-unquote, loser kids, loser students will bring down or talk in an untoward manner with students that are performing at a certain academic level. If you have a certain scholarship or you are about scholarship, you have some naysayers that will take you down. I mean, we know that. We know this to be true. But you have folks, the apologists, Captain, the enablers, the deniers, the politically correct crew. They're ready to say, hey, what's wrong with him? There's articles, plenty of articles saying what's wrong with the black community is him. He's the problem. Really? Really? Sir Charles is the problem. And we know he's had goofy ways, he's done some goofy things, but listen, I cannot discount the message, Captain. I can't do it. If you scrutinize and say he should have couched it better, he should have calibrated his words, he should have said there's a number of black people, which it still wouldn't have gone over well. Let's keep it real. If he said it in a way that you would think would protect him from scrutiny, if he said, hey, listen, there are some black folks that conduct themselves this way, somebody would be right there to say he's still wrong. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But you cannot discount the spirit of his language. You can't discount it. I just find it interesting how people are still able to be in this whimsical state of denial. We've seen it clearly. Captain, your thoughts? You got about 2 minutes remaining. Sir Charles, he's the problem. Is he?
Charles Barkley, who's a very good character when he does
sports
analysis pertaining to basketball. I like Charles Barkley. There's nothing more to discuss. Black people, not all. But black people, again, not all. You do not like to look in the mirror, all right? And in this case, you're looking at the abyss, and the abyss is staring back at you. Get it together. Not all. But what he was saying is the truth. Now take that. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Okay, folks, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. And you know what? Guess what, Captain? If I deconstruct race from the stories that I spoke about earlier with Casey Hickox and Dr. Spencer, white folks don't want to be confronted, certainly, either. They don't want to be wrong either. She doesn't want to be quarantined. We are going to quarantine your ass until we check you out. Knock it off. Please. This man is touching things. I'm going crazy. What's wrong with this guy? He's touching things, Captain. He's eating. He's running. And he's lying. More on Saturday, 6 p.m., folks. It's been real. More classic grooves. This is Howling Wolf Smokestack Lightning. Smokestack Lightning. See you on Saturday. Spin real.
Ooh.